You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, welcome along to The Punt. My name is Lee Phelps. It's been a long time since I've said that. And with me today to look at the Champions League and Europa League action is Sam Norris.
Hello, awesome. Lee.
How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. You?
Yeah, very good. Interesting FA Cup weekend, just gone. A few shocks in there. I was probably most shocked about the nil-nil draw that the Terriers, Huddersfield Town, managed to eke out against Manchester City. But Lincoln getting past Burnley, of course, as well. All good. Millwall, not so much of a shock.
No.
Beating the champions, Leicester. That champions tag is kind of so sullied now, it seems almost weird calling them champions. We're recording this before Sutton have played Arsenal, but wouldn't it be great to have Sutton and Lincoln both in the next round?
And it would, given the way the draw's gone, it would guarantee a non-league side in the semi-final of the FA Cup as well.
It'd be great, but not very good as well, because obviously what will happen is it'll be like Millwall when they go to the final.
Yeah,
it's great, but they just turn into a rubbish final. Yeah. Champions League then, and Europa League this midweek. Plenty to look forward to. We're going to start out on Tuesday night, and we'll start with Manchester City against Monaco. After being held by Huddersfield, they've back into Champions League action. 8-13 to get the win in 90 minutes. The draw is 16-5. And Monaco are priced up at 9-2. When you look at City's form, it kind of makes that Huddersfield draw all the more special. That, you know, that was off the back of four straight wins for Man City. Started to score goals again and hadn't been conceding either. Didn't concede against Huddersfield, but they're going into this Champions League fixture in good form. But so are Monaco, to be fair. They've been in really good nick, haven't they? In fact, you have to go back quite a way to find their last defeat. That was before the winter break. When they lost at home to Lyon way back in December before the Christmas break. Been going along very nice, haven't they, Monaco?
Absolutely, yeah. And they got a massive boost last night as well. PSG were held against Toulouse. That one finished 0-0, which leaves Monaco 3 points clear at the top of Ligue 1. It's been an interesting Ligue 1 campaign this season, right across the board. We had Nice, obviously, challenging earlier on in the season. And Monaco this season, it isn't the sort of nice tie that it has been in years gone by. In years gone by, if you drew Monaco in the knockout rounds, you'd think, all right, yeah, that's probably up there with the best one or two ties that we could have got. But it's not really a case this season. Monaco have been playing well. And as I said, PSG's draw on Sunday night leaves them 3 points clear at the top. But it has been a much improved Manchester City side in recent weeks. They've really tightened up at the back and probably demonstrated an adaptability that many sceptics didn't think Guardiola had in him, really. A lot of people were sort of saying this is the way he plays and he's rigid, he's not going to change that. But the last few weeks, they have sort of turned a corner. They've really, really tightened up at the back. I mean, four clean sheets in the last five games is something that looked really unlikely a couple of months ago. Unfortunately, it was the striking department that let them down over the weekend against a resilient Huddersfield Town. And as I said, Monaco isn't as favourable as it has been in years gone by. They haven't lost a game since mid-December, as you mentioned, and they will seriously fancy their chances here. I think it's a game in which both teams to score. It's priced up at 7-10, which isn't the world's greatest price, but City haven't drawn a blank at the Etihad all season in any game, and they've only kept a clean sheet in a quarter of their matches that they've played at home. And given that they're coming up against a tougher side in Monaco than they might be facing a sort of lower half of the Premier League table, I think both teams to score looks a great starting point here at 7-10. To add to that, Monaco have scored in 18 of their last 20 on the road. Again, they're playing slightly lesser opposition in France, but still, 7-10 looks a good starting point for me in terms of both teams to score. And that will be the main bet. But at a bigger price, I'm looking in the goal scorer market. One of the markets that I do like playing is the coupled goal scorers, particularly on a night where I think both teams will score, and I think the featured men, if you like, will come to the fore. Sergio Aguero obviously almost has to come back in now after Gabriel Jesus was ruled out for the foreseeable future. So I could see Aguero scoring. And the man I'm really keen on for Monaco is young Kylian Mbappe, which I'm probably mispronouncing horribly. But the 18-year-old has been in great nick of late. He scored 5 in his last 5 games in all competitions. It's 5-1 that both of them score on a night where I think both teams could score at least one, if not two. I could see this being fairly high scoring. Both of those men to get on the score sheet is 5-1. If you're looking for a player at a bigger price, Bernardo Silva is 14-5 anytime for Monaco. And he just loves playing away from home. He scored 7 goals in his last 14 away Champions League appearances and 5 goals in his last 5 away games in all competition. So he's a price at 14-5. Got the goal against Bastia over the weekend as well, Bernardo Silva. So he comes into this in good nick. But Sergio Aguero and Kylian Mbappe, both to score at 5-1. Looks a good supplementary bet to go with the BTTS at 7-10.
Yeah, just looking at Silva, actually. Look at the away games for Monaco in the Champions League, and his name features a lot. Scored in October in Moscow, scored at Tottenham.
Yep.
Scored at Villarreal as well, so you know, not a bad shout there. Yeah. And obviously, they've got a little bit of history of being in the UK and doing well. Also, looking at you talking about the both teams to score, they've conceded in each of their last 9 away European games in Monaco, not since Bayer Leverkusen, a trip there to Germany in November 2014. Have they failed to have they kept a clean sheet, including trips to Arsenal and Tottenham, as I said? So yeah, both teams to score looks like a decent shout. Don't forget, if you think there are going to be goals, then you may as well have a bet on this with William Hill, because 4 means more. You'll see that plastered all over the website. It means basically, if you have a bet in this game on the match betting market, both teams to score, or match result and both teams to score, so any of those 3 markets. And there are 4 or more goals in the game, then you get 25% free bet bonus on top of your winnings. So you don't have to do anything.
Can't say fairer than
that.
Have
the bet. If there are 4 or more goals in it, you just get more.
Yeah.
Fair enough. It applies to selected TV games, but I've seen the list, and most of them this week are on there, and all the Champions League and Europa League ones are. So have a look at that. That's Man City versus Monaco. Let's have a look at the other Tuesday night game, and that's Leverkusen versus Atletico Madrid. This is in Germany, 23-10, the home team, 21-10, the price for the draw, and it's 7-5 for Atletico in this one. Atletico doing well in their domestic division, 4th behind Sevilla and the top 2. Bayer Leverkusen not doing quite so well. I don't know if they're saving it all for the Champions League, but they've come back into a little bit of form domestically with 2 wins, scoring 3 against Eintracht Frankfurt and then 3 at the weekend against Augsburg. The home form is pretty strong. When you look at the Champions League, the home form, they draw a lot of games. They've actually beat Monaco in the last group game at home, 3-0, but before that they were drawing against everyone. You'd expect Atletico to probably edge this when you look at the pedigree in Europe. But their away form in Europe hasn't been particularly great. Fair play that, you know, they had Bayern Munich in the last game and lost 1-0. Did win 1-0 in Rostov, beat PSV by a single goal to nil, but not pulling up any trees. Just tight as ever, really, I suppose, aren't they, Atletico?
Yeah, and so much of what Atletico do well is based on their defensive prowess and how tactically astute they are and how they keep other teams out. But they'll likely be missing Jan Oblak, Diego Godin and Juan Fran for this game. So that's their goalkeeper and 2 of their first choice defenders missing from this one, which for a side who builds so much of their good play on being rock solid at the back is a little bit concerning. As you mentioned, Leverkusen are not having a great season really. 8th is a bit of a disappointment for them, and they're behind a few of those surprise packages who may well come back to Leverkusen, the likes of Hertha Berlin, Hoffenheim, Eintracht Frankfurt, who Leverkusen might think they won't survive the whole season. So maybe they've still got their eye on qualifying for Europe next year, but they were slowly away after the winter break in Germany. It took them a while to get back up to speed. They lost 2 of their first 3 games back after the winter break, but they've now recorded back-to-back wins in the Bundesliga, scoring 6 and conceding just 1 in the process. So they might sniff an upset here against an Atleti side who are stuttering a little bit. Their place in the top 4 in La Liga was in real jeopardy a week ago. They were just a point clear of Real Sociedad going into the weekend's fixtures, but a win for Atleti against Sporting Gijón and Real Sociedad's defeat to Villarreal means they've now opened up a 4-point cushion. So they can probably breathe a sigh of relief in terms of La Liga. But their win at Sporting Gijón at the weekend was the first away game that they'd won in 5 after drawing the other 4. So they're struggling to win games away from home lately, albeit they're not actually losing the games either. Leverkusen plus a goal is 4-7, which is okay here. It's not great, but I think I'd be a little bit bolder and just take the draw, which is 21-10 in terms of an outright bet. It's not my favourite bet in the game, but in terms of the outrights, I do like that 21-10. You mentioned Leverkusen draw a lot of games in Europe. They actually drew 4 of their 6 group games and managed to get out the group via a couple of victories, one of those notably against Monaco. So they've drawn 4 of the last 6 in Europe. Atleti, as I say, have drawn 4 of their last 5, on the road in all competitions. So I do like the draw at 21-10, but the bet I'll go for here is both teams to score, which looks big at 21-20. I think that is fairly generous, given that Atleti are the worthy favourites, but they're missing three key players at the back. And to be fair, they've been breached in six of their last eight games in all competition and seven of their last 10 on the road. Plus, Leverkusen have scored in each of their last nine home games. So both teams have scored, odds against does appeal for me, and that will do as a bet. There's also the score draw bet, which is 16-5, which combines the two selections there. But BTTS look big enough for me, and 21-20 be my main bet of the match, but a draw in terms of the outrights.
Let's have a look at Wednesday night's Champions League action, and Leicester are back in Europe. Kind of sends a bit of a shiver down your spine, doesn't it? To wondering what's going to happen to them from here on in. They're playing a Sevilla side who are at third in La Liga, only 3 points behind Real Madrid, the leaders at the moment. So this is a daunting prospect, but this is what they wanted. Leicester, of course, have saved their best form for the Champions League this season, struggling for their lives in the Premier League, down in 17th spot, just a point above the relegation zone. But they've only lost once in the Champions League. That was a thumping when they went to Porto. But the job had been done by then, to be fair. Losing 5-0 to Porto. I think it was I think they'd lost 5-0 to Porto and went and beat City 4-1, I think, in the following game in the Premier League. And we all thought, oh, maybe they're back. They weren't. Sevilla are the darlings of the Europa League, of course. They've won it three times on the spin. But they want to go and do the job in the Champions League this season. They weren't massively impressive in the group stages. They got the job done, though, so it's not to, we shouldn't criticise them too much. Finished it off with a 3-1 defeat to Juve at home and a 0-0 draw away in France against Lyon. You look at the prices here, and Sevilla are 2-5, 19-5 the draw. Leicester are 15-2. Incidentally, Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win. Roll back the years. What's the last year? Or early this year, 16-1. I mean, they can't go to Sevilla and win. I mean, you're going back into the territory of last season where we were going, they can't win the Premier League. This would almost be as surprising as them winning the Premier League going to Sevilla. No, it wouldn't be that surprising, but they've got a mountain to climb here and the confidence seems bereft. They seem shot to pieces, don't they? Sevilla will get the job done here, surely.
Yeah, you'd have thought so. And I suppose 2-5, it does sound short, but I don't think the traders have got any other option, really. They can't afford to dangle any sort of carrot out about Sevilla because so many people will be keen to take on Leicester the way they've been playing recently. Typified at the weekend with a 1-0 defeat to Millwall. I think it spoke volumes about Leicester, the fact that Millwall were as short as 2-1 to win that game at the weekend. And as I say, that just epitomised everything that's been going wrong for Leicester at the moment. The group stages provided a nice distraction from what was a mediocre Premier League season. But now we're into the knockout stages. They're a distraction from what is actually a very important relegation battle now. Of course, if you ask any Leicester fan, they'd probably all take winning. You'd rather win the Champions League and get relegated. I think 10 times out of 10, they'd be happy enough to do that. But winning the Champions League does look unlikely. So they do need to have an eye on the Premier League fixtures now, and I still think they'll probably go full strength for this match, but I do think there's half a chance that they perhaps don't give it their full attention as they did in the group stages, because they do need to look at trying to survive in the Premier League. Sevilla have risen up the table in La Liga. They're just 3 points behind Real Madrid, albeit Madrid have a couple of games in hand. So do Barcelona, but Sevilla are well clear of Atleti in fourth. So a top three finish looks fairly assured for them this season. And once again, it's been another year that has been built on superb home form. It's always been their strength, Sevilla. For the last three, four seasons, they've been excellent at home. And it's been the case this season too. Only Barcelona and Juventus have come to Sevilla and walked away with a win this year. Leicester getting anything here really would be the upset of the round, to be perfectly honest. Their only wins in 2017 have come in the FA Cup. They beat Everton and then they beat Derby in extra times. So they haven't even won a league game this term and are dangerously close to the bottom three now. So as I said, I don't know what side Ranieri will put out. It wouldn't surprise me if it isn't as full strength as it could be. I think it'll be fairly strong, but he might rest a couple. I think a heavy defeat will seriously hamper morale as well. But I don't think I can really avoid taking them to get battered. So Sevilla -1 at 21-20 would be the play for me. I think I'd also probably have a point on them -2 at 11-4. So sort of split your stake up a little bit, have three parts of it on Sevilla -1, one part on Sevilla -2 at 11-4. Those are both of the players. I've sort of weighed this game up every single way, and I can't give Leicester any sort of chance, regardless of how I think about it. So Sevilla, minus one and minus two will be the play.
Not just one last hurrah for Leicester, for the dream, the fairy tale. You were probably one of those people last year who were like, look, I've weighed up everything I can. There's no way they can win this. That was me. I was that person.
Yeah, you were a big non-believer, weren't you, Leicester?
Right till the end.
Yeah.
Even when they got the trophy, I was like, I still don't think they're going to do it. Even when they're on the open top bus tour. Even now, I'm not sure they're going to do it.
Yeah.
It's hard to make an argument.
This is, despite the fact that they won their group, this isn't a nice draw, really, for Leicester. I think they'll be a little bit deflated at the fact that they've won their group and they've still been handed a really tough game. Well, I don't think there were that many easy draws, but
you
wouldn't fancy Sevilla.
Leverkusen would have been easy, wouldn't it? To be fair, Sevilla are tough.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Sevilla are
very
like
tough.
Such a hardened European team as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
So we've got 2-5 Sevilla. It's 1-2 that Ranieri is the next manager to go in the Premier League. It's 8-13 that he's not in charge of them for the start of the Premier League season next season.
It seems
8-13. That's, but if you, rather than back in Sevilla, just back Ranieri to be the next man. If they go out, if they get hammered here, he's gone.
Do you think so?
Well, he's not the guy to get him out of trouble, is he?
Probably not. But it seems unfathomable to me.
What, in football,
he could win a team like Leicester, the Premier League.
I know, but
and doesn't have a job for life on the back of that.
No, you're right. I agree. But
he probably will go, but just because such is football. But
you won't be back in it at 1-2, would you? But I'd rather have the 1-2 about him to go than the 2-5.
2-5 about Sevilla, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know, actually.
Well, not if he wins in the Champions League.
if he wins this, then he'll get a job for life if he wins this game. It's Sevilla. And Sevilla, quite comfy as well. Let's have a look at the other Wednesday night game in the Champions League. That's Porto versus Juve, two of the form teams in Europe at the moment. Porto sitting at a point behind Benfica in their domestic division. Juve, top of Serie A by a country mile, as per usual. Porto have won their last six. Juve have won their last seven. In the Champions League group stages, Juve were very good. They had a draw against Sevilla, actually, and a draw against Lyon, but won the rest of the games. So the only game that Porto lost was against Leicester, back when we still thought they could do all sorts of different things. Cracking game, this one. So probably the game of the midweek, because this is like the weaker set of fixtures from last week, isn't it? Porto 11-4, the draw 2-1, Juve 13-10. There's a little bit of something for everyone there. Whatever argument you can make, there's some value there. It strikes me.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you could be talked round into any one of the three possible outcomes.
That's what I'm hoping you will do now.
Well, it does make it a bit of a difficult proposition. This, as you rightly mentioned, they're two of the real form horses in Europe. Porto won the last six in all competition. Juve won the last seven in all competition, as you mentioned. I think Juve probably are worthy favourites, but I mean, probably given the fact that they play in a more competitive league and probably play at a higher standard than Porto do. But Porto can take solace in the fact that they haven't lost a single home game in any competition all season. Juve boast a similarly good home record. I think both sides will be very aware of this. And then both sides will obviously be keen to put up a really good performance on home soil, given that both sides know that is where their strength lies. Me and Alex have said many a time on the European Football Podcast this season, if Juve are to be caught out at any stage, it's going to be away from home. It's very unlikely that they're going to get beat at home. And they have been caught out a couple of times away from home this year. They've lost a couple of games that you perhaps wouldn't have expected them to lose. At the same time, the thing that points me in the direction of Juventus here, though, is the fact that they can focus all of their efforts and all of their energies on the Champions League now that they're 9-10 points clear, whatever they are in Serie A. Surely a sixth consecutive domestic title beckons for them, whereas Porto needs to keep the pressure up on Benfica. So they need to focus on an away trip to Boa Vista next week. I don't think Juventus will have any eyes at all on a home game against Empoli, given how clear they are. So I think the fact that the focus here for Juventus is all on the Champions League, and it's not quite for Porto because they still need to try and chase down Benfica at the top of the Primera. It's a kind of thin argument, but at 13-10, Juventus were maybe a little bit bigger than I expected them to be here. That's probably due to Porto's excellent home form. I thought they'd probably be even money, maybe 19-20 here, Juventus. So I will make them the tentative pick on the outrights at 13-10. But again, I think I'd rather take a goal scorer here at a price. Gonzalo Higuain has five in his last five. He's understandably short in the betting. But Paulo Dybala starred on Friday night and scored a great brace against Palermo as Juve ran riot, really. At 19-10, he's almost a point bigger than Higuain. So I'll go for him as a value goal scorer. A Juve win just about the call in the outrights, but just go for Dybala to get on the score sheet. 19-10 looks big for me, and he was a real thorn in Palermo's side on Friday, and Higuain takes enough out of the market that you can get a price about Dybala.
Yeah, like that. Let's have a look at the Europa League matches. We'll start on Wednesday night because Man United are playing Saint Etienne on Wednesday. They've changed the fixture around because they've got the League Cup final on Sunday. To be fair, I don't think it would have really mattered if they played Thursday night, because I can't imagine Mourinho fielding a particularly strong team here. He wasn't overly impressed with his team in the first leg, despite beating the French 3-0 with that Zlatan hat-trick. He said they had a jovial mood in the dressing room beforehand and weren't focused on the game. They went out and they gave the ball away straight away. Yeah, they got on the squad. You know, it's just typical Mourinho.
Yeah,
they win 3-0. Zlatan did what Zlatan does. He gets chances and he scores goals. Simple as that. I'm going to drop a massive name here. Ron Atkinson, who was once of this podcast.
Yes.
I spoke to him on Saturday.
And did you really?
I've spoken to him for a while and I was chatting to him. He still does Man United TV. And he was always a bit like reticent to compliment Zlatan when we didn't know much of him. Didn't think he was truly, truly world class. So I said to him, "What do you think now, Ron? Like, you know, you're watching him week in, week out." And he said he's just a brilliant finisher. He said he finishes 1 in 2. He said, "You give him 2 chances, he'll score one of them."
Yeah, no,
just,
I agree.
He's just like, he might not do anything all game, really, but he's just a fantastic finisher.
When he moved to Manchester United, I was a massive, massive non-believer. Having spent, at the age that he is, and having spent 3-4 years in Ligue 1, which we know isn't as competitive on paper as the Premier League, I lost a sizable spread bet to one of my friends about how many goals Zlatan Ibrahimovic would score in the Premier League. I've already lost that bet. That's how much I've been thumped on that. I was a big non-believer.
I thought he could win Player of the Year. I thought he'd do. I didn't know he'd score this many goals. I thought he'd be maybe more influential than he is. But he's just a beast, isn't he?
Yeah,
and he knows how to buy free kicks, buy penalties, and he's just the man. And he thinks he's Indiana Jones, which is which is even more bizarre.
Yeah.
So Man United are going to go away, probably with a much weakened team, to France. 3-0, they should get the job done here. They're 5-4 to win the game in 90 minutes, 11-5 the draw, 5-2 for Saint Etienne to win this game in 90 minutes. Qualifying odds, 25-1 for the French to turn this right round. Man United are 200-1 on. Derek McGovern, also of this podcast at the weekend, would say that there's no point in backing Man United to win when they don't need to win. The draw at 11-5 does look fairly favourable. United are in good nick, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
Etienne, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, United, they haven't lost a league game since October, have they? And for all that, yes, they don't need to win this, it never hurts to keep the winning run going and to keep the mentality going. And I think a lot of people will see the fact that he's going to change the team as a negative here. I don't really see it that way, because I think there's a lot of fringe players there at Manchester United who are hungry to try and... Because a lot of these are proper fringe players. We're not talking about... Sometimes we say fringe players and what we mean is not good enough for the first team and never are going to be. There's some players that are actually genuinely on the fringe, and a couple of good performances could see them break into the first 11. Said on the podcast last week that Man United will probably be taking the Europa League very seriously, given that there's a Champions League spot on offer to the winner.
Yep.
And it looks a very winnable tournament for Manchester United. The club wants to win trophies, Jose Mourinho wants to win trophies, and they can get into the Champions League this way. And if they don't make the Premier League top four, which I don't think they will, this could be their best route into the Champions League. It's pretty much job done, as we said. Comfortable 3-0 winners last week. Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored his 15th, 16th and 17th goal against Saint Etienne in his career. So they're a team he loves playing against. Yeah, I don't think he'll start this week. The EFL Cup final on Southampton will take precedence. But they'll be keen to keep this good form going. I think we could see a similar side to the side that started against Blackburn at the weekend, as in Rashford, Martial, Ashley Young, Jesse Lingard. These kinds of players will play. And I don't see those guys taking it easy because they, as I said earlier, they'll be desperate to try and break into the Manchester United first 11 proper.
And Mourinho won't let you take... He's not the kind of manager you imagine who would let you take it easy, you know.
If he sees you dossing about and, you know, not really trying in this game, there's absolutely no way that you're going to break into his first 11 plans. So those fringe players, I think, will be desperate to prove themselves. Probably feel they've got a great opportunity too. So 5-4 was probably okay on Man United on the outrights. But again, I think I'll go for players to score here. Again, you have to take a little bit of a guess because I'm not sure exactly what kind of team he's going to play. But Marcus Rashford is 6-4 anytime. He's shown before that he's not overawed by European nights. He looked fairly bright at the weekend, took his goal well. It was keen to get on the ball as well. There was a couple of iffy first touches from him, but he'd be the man I'd be looking at. Also, Martial, who's 21-10. He's a bigger price because he'll likely be stuck out on the wing again. But I like those two players at 6-4 and 21-10 respectively to score, because I think they're two of the players that I mentioned earlier who are top of the list to sort of try and break into that first 11. They're maybe 12th and 13th on Mourinho's squad list, if you like. So I'd be looking at that pair to score. 5-4 is okay about Man United, but I'd rather just play some goal scorers. Saint Etienne, to be fair, generally haven't been in great nick lately anyway. They've lost three of their last four in all competition and have fallen 4 points behind Lyon now in fourth. So they might even rest players to try and focus on getting back involved in that top four race in Ligue 1. So I'm not entirely convinced that they'll play a full-strength side either. But look at Rashford, look at Martial to score 6-4 and 21-10 respectively.
Yeah, don't forget hashtag your odds. If you haven't seen this yet and you're not on Twitter, then make sure you get yourself a little Twitter account. Go to @ William Hill and you can send in your own bets. So if you wanted to cobble together a bet for any of these games, then all you have to do is tweet @ William Hill. Make sure you put hashtag your odds and then ask for your bet, whatever it might be. And they'll do the best to price it up. This is a little sneak preview because it might not have been released yet. But Sam and I have seen one kind of special bet for this St Etienne Man United game,
yeah,
which Robbie's been talking about, hasn't he? And it's I think we've got the price. We'll probably tell you the price, and it'll hopefully be on site by the time you listen to this. It's Man United to score a corner in all four corners.
Yeah.
No, score a corner. To get a corner.
Yes, take a corner
in all four corners of the ground, which I think I've never seen that bet before.
No, I haven't.
I think it's a great little bet.
Yeah.
I agree. What was the price? 4-1?
4-1, yeah. And that's just for a game, if you're watching it and you want to have a bet, you want to have some interest, but you're fully aware, as we all are, that it's a dead rubber and you don't want to be getting too involved in other things. It could be absolutely perfect for that, just for a little bit of interest.
Being sat with your mate Sam watching it, and so the first half comes along, Man United get a corner on the left-hand side, get a corner on the right, and then second half comes along, they get a corner on the left-hand side, and you can imagine, you'd be cheering every time they went down the right wing. You'd be like, just get the corner!
Yeah.
You'd never have cheered for that in your life. I like that. I think it's a really quirky bet.
The worst thing for it, though, it could chin you. You know when the ball goes like over the top of the goal and they just sort of take it from...
either side.
Yeah, they just take it from any side they want, don't they?
Yeah, you don't have to necessarily take it from where you want to.
If it goes out on the right, then you take it from the right. If it goes out on the left, take it from the left. If it goes out over the top of the goal, they just take it from either side, don't they?
That'd be what happened to me, though.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of similar, I guess, to a your odds kind of bet. But if you want to pick your own, it can involve scorers, corners, cards, correct scores. You pick it. Hashtag your odds @ William Hill is how you do that on any of the Champions League or Europa League games this midweek. Let's round this all off with a look at Tottenham versus Ghent in the Europa League. This one is on Thursday night. It's at 8:05 on the Thursday. Tottenham are 130 on to win in 90 minutes. The draw is 9-2, and Ghent are priced up at 10-1. The qualifying odds: Tottenham 1-2, and Ghent are 6-4. The return leg, of course, was 1-0. To Ghent, and a bit of a surprise, I suppose, to Tottenham fans. Weren't overly impressed with that. They've had a couple of results this season where the Tottenham fans have grumbled, and that was one of them when they went to Belgium and lost. The form is, I suppose, about as iffy now as it has been all season, really, for Tottenham. They went through a bit of a lull around kind of November time, October as well. But the fans just seem to be getting a little bit restless. I had the loss against Liverpool, had the draw against Sunderland. Obviously, they've beaten Middlesbrough in between that, and they did beat Fulham 3-0 and did it well, to be fair, at the weekend with that Kane hat-trick. They need to just go out and win this, Sam, don't they? And put the kind of first leg to bed and make sure they get a good start and get over Ghent, because Ghent away from home aren't pulling up any trees domestically. And all right, you know, they've done well to get this far in the Europa League, but there should be no issues really for Tottenham here.
Shouldn't be, no. But then again, neither should the first leg really. Mm. And the side that they put out as well, that was the thing that really surprised me. I mean, this was pretty much full strength.
Yeah.
Hugo Lloris in goal. I thought Michel Vorm would be a certainty to start. Majority of the big names were in there. Kyle Walker played, Alderweireld played, Kane played, Dyer played, Ali played, Wanyama. You know, Sissoko and Dembele. it was a very, very strong team that they put out. They put out a strong team as well against Fulham at the weekend. I think they'll probably go for a strong team again this week. And one thing Pochettino can't be accused of is not taking competition seriously this year.
What's interesting, I was just looking back through the fixtures and trying to get a handle on it. And you look at the, you know, I know they're all Premier League players. They all get pampered. They all get good travel and all that. But the amount of away games they've actually played in recent times. So if you go back to when they drew 2-2 at Man City back in, that was towards the end of January, 21st of January. They then had a home game against Wickham when they conceded 3 in the FA Cup. Mm. They played away at Sunderland, went back home and beat Middlesbrough 1-0, but then they've been away to Liverpool, away to Ghent. They were away, I know it's only in London at Fulham, but maybe they just need to have a couple of home games just to kind of settle themselves down, because it's not, and I know the travelling's easy, but it's just that kind of, you know, footballers will always tell you, it's that the unfamiliarity of being away from home, wherever that might be, and followed up, you know, they didn't get a good result in Sunderland, got a draw, not what they would have wanted, lost at Liverpool, lost at Ghent. Probably just need to go home and have a few games at home and get themselves back into the routine of it again.
I think I'd agree with that, but crucially, this game isn't technically at home for them, really.
No, of course.
Because they're playing this at Wembley. Yeah. Again, you know, it's in London, so similar to the Fulham
game. But it's not what we're saying, though. It's not being in the comfort of your own surroundings and being in your own dressing room and knowing, you know, the woman who's making your dinner and all that sort of stuff that footballers seem to love and covet quite a lot. But yeah, you're right. So again, it's not it's not a home game, is it? And they've not really done, you know, been pulling up trees when they have been at home, really, have they, in inverted commas, in Europe this season?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, Wembley's not been a happy hunting ground for them really all season. They lost 2 of the 3 Champions League games there, beat CSKA Moscow. I did mention last week that I suppose they'll probably feel, I say the whole club, the players, the manager, the fans, especially last week, they probably felt a little bit flat about being in the Europa League for a start because they obviously were looking for a Champions League campaign, didn't get out the group stages, and to go away to Ghent, it's a classic Europa League tie, isn't it? You know, no disrespect to Ghent, but they're not a Champions League side. You'd never meet them in the knockout stages of the Champions League, would you? So it's a very Europa League feel to it with the first leg. But I think the fans will be desperate to have a real good crack at this competition. I think Spurs need a trophy in the next couple of seasons to sort of cement how far they've come over the last few years. You know, they've become a serious sort of top four side, haven't they?
Yeah.
And silverware has to go with that. And I think, you know, if you offered the fans the Europa League or the FA Cup, I'm sure they'd rather take this one. I'm sure you'd. I know it's the lesser brother of the two European competitions, but a European trophy probably would take precedence over a domestic trophy. Pochettino seems to see it that way. And as I said, he put out a strong side against Ghent last week. A similarly strong side could be out again this week. I think they'll probably beat Ghent quite comfortably, in my opinion. I know they've not played tremendously well at Wembley, but Ghent, even if they were having a good season, I'm not sure I'd fancy them too much. But they're 8th in the Belgian league, and this is a league of 16. So they are bang mid-table at the moment, Ghent. And this is, by their standards, I mean, there's quite a few teams, to be fair, disappointing in the Belgian table this season. It's been a bit of a weirdie. I mean, Club Brugge and Anderlecht are still going very well, as you'd always expect them to do. But Ghent and Standard Liège are 7th, 8th and 9th. All of them you'd expect to be in the top 6. So they're not even having a good season domestically. They don't play very well away from home, Ghent. They beat Konyaspor in the Europa League. That was over in Turkey, obviously. And that's been their only away victory in any competition since November when they won a game in the league. And in fact, all season, they've only won 4 times on the road. Two in the league, 1 in the domestic cup and 1 in the Europa League. So Ghent don't travel particularly well. And a strong Spurs side, I think, will get the job done here. Spurs -1 is 17-20, which is fair. I don't think it's incredible, but I do think it's fair. Harry Kane is 10-11 any time. That, I thought, was fairly interesting. Whether he's or not he's a guarantee to play after the weekend, I'm not sure. But he certainly seems to be trying to go for these games. So I think Kane probably will start. And 10-11 any time, he's interesting. 4-1 to score 2 or more, which is another possibility for me. But all in all, I do like Spurs here. I thought it was interesting that it's 1-2 that they qualify and 130 on that they win the match. I was a bit surprised to see the 1-2 on the fact that they qualify. I mean, they're only a goal down. Mm. I don't see them winning. I mean, if they were to win the game and not qualify, they'd have to win, what, 2-1, 3-2? I don't really see that happening, to be honest. So I thought the qualifier at 1-2 was okay, and I'd rather play that than 130 on that they win the match and just take it on chance that if they win, they're going to go through. But Spurs -1 at 17-20 will probably be the bet here in what's a fairly tough game to extract loads of value out because Spurs are very short, but obviously they lost to them just a week ago. So Spurs minus one at 17-20 will do.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I always like to have a look at a team who are a goal up, you know, when they're still underdogs, because you only need that away goal.
Yeah.
But Ghent don't score enough away from home, unfortunately, you know, whether that's domestically in cup competitions, league competitions, or in the Europa League. So, yeah, I can see where you're going with that one. Is there any bet this week that stands out that will be your favourite bet for the Champions League or Europa League?
I've got a double that would stand out for me on Tuesday night. I mentioned it in both previews individually, but I think both teams to score, Bayer Leverkusen and Atletico Madrid, and both teams to score in Manchester City versus Monaco. So all four Champions League teams to score. You might even get an enhancement about it as well, because that's the kind of thing that we do see enhanced occasionally. But all four teams to score on Tuesday night, I think, looks rock solid this week.
Very nice. I was just going to try and work out the both teams to score. Let's do it, shall we? Yes. 24-10.
Just shy of 5-2.
Like it. Nice. Very good indeed. 12-5 for the both teams to score double. We'll take that for Tuesday night. Sam, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks very much, Lee.
Enjoyed that. Being back on the punt one time only. It'll be returned to normality for the weekend. I think, are you doing the weekend one, or is it?
No, I'm on holiday, but Kelman will be back.
For next week, that is. Yeah, Alex, it'll be Alex Dunn, Derek McGovern, and Tom Kerwin looking at the Premier League action for the weekend's punt. InPlay Radio will take you through all the Champions League and Europa League action with InPlay bets galore on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night. So make sure you tune in. InPlayRadio.co.uk, and don't forget, four means more on all these live televised games. So all you have to do is have a bet on those main three markets. If there happens to be four or more goals in any of them, then you will automatically be credited with a 25% free bet win bonus. So have a bet on those, and don't forget, hashtag your odds on Twitter at William Hill. Check it out. Any bets that you like that aren't priced up already, send them in at William Hill with that hashtag on it, and the traders will do their best to price them up. Once again, thanks to Sam. My name's been Lee Phelps. If you want to bet on any of the Champions League or Europa League action, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.